You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Point West with Bobby West and Earth O'Jallo. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Point West, West.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome to the second hour of Point West here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go on the world's greatest radio. I'm your host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. In this second hour, we are going to hear the thoughts of Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I wanted to play this because I wondered, where were our national religious leaders and what were they saying during this time of the murder that everybody saw on tape of George Floyd? Everybody was talking except for our religious leaders. But as I scanned the internet, I did see a speech by Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he's going to give his thoughts on that. So give particular listen. If you have any questions at the end of it, you know, we will have opportunity for you to question at 1-877-932-9766 or 7MrBobby@gmail.com. Here's Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Pretty tough situation right now. Between the pandemic, the economy, and George Floyd, when we look back at it, and Ahmaud Arbery and so many other people in a short span of time have weighed heavy on my heart. I'm generally not the first person to come out the gate. I generally like to think things over before I speak. This time I was slow coming out of the gate because there was something about it that was so sad. I've never wept so hard for somebody I didn't even know. Let me start by saying, just in case there's somebody from the Floyd family that's on or somebody who knows him, please express my deepest, most profound condolences. I hate even saying those words because they sound so weak compared to what my heart really feels about it. As a father and as a black man and as a Christian and as a pastor, I don't know which orifice I bleed the most from. All of them are bleeding in some way tonight. I'm bleeding for our country. I'm bleeding for the Floyd family. I'm bleeding for the state that our world is in right now. My soul hemorrhages at the struggle for justice and the fight for empathy. I probably should say, and I know this is probably going to be unpopular with a lot of people, I'm all for demonstrating and protesting. Sometimes it's the only way to get attention. Protesting comes when people have exhausted every means within their grasp to do, and then they take to the streets and protest. But I'm against the violence, and I'm against the...
Are vegans healthy?
Are vegetarians healthy?
French fries and beer are vegan, so you tell me. But seriously.
Looting. And I'm against it not only because I think it's morally wrong, but I think it's counterproductive to the conversation that the nation needs to be focused on is what happened to Ahmaud, what happened to George Floyd, what happened to so many people. The list goes on and on of people. And now we're talking about rioting and burning buildings, and that's a distraction from what we need to be focused on in this country. How to form a more perfect union, and how to be more inclusive, and how to broaden our perspectives, and how to communicate, and how to be heard effectively. But I do understand you have a people that have been locked up in the house for 8 weeks, and they come out with death, 3 deaths in 30 days, atrocious, unnecessary deaths. Yes, there are deaths going on that we don't know the name. There are natural deaths, there are coronavirus deaths, there are black-on-black crime. There's all kinds of things, but when you see these particular crimes, racial injustice is a trigger for an abuse that takes us back someplace ugly that none of us want to be there, black or white. Commendations and appreciation to people of all colors who have voiced their disapproval, who have picked up their phone, who have called, called Congress and Senate and did something of all colors to say that this is not the America that we believe we ought to be. And we welcome you from all walks of life. It's not just a matter of being a Christian, it's about being a human. There's no way in the world that I would do that to another person. I just couldn't do that to see a grown man hollering for his mama. I've never been that angry. I've never been that indifferent or that cold, especially for somebody that I was suspicious of a forgery.
We hear it over and over from investors. I wish I had bought Amazon or Netflix when they were first
It's not a capital offense. And if it is, it shouldn't be tried on a sidewalk. My prayer is that the day will come that our cases are tried in court and not on sidewalks. And my prayer is that one day they will understand that the kind of rage that we see acted out in the streets right now is a distraction, where the news should be focusing on the Floyd family and the case and the issues. They're focusing on the distraction, and though it may come from a place of really wanting to draw attention to the issue, it really subverts the ability to see the magnitude of the issue. I've been on the phone today with a lot of leaders talking about what we can do. I've been on the phone all week talking to a lot of leaders, not just faith leaders. Today it was faith leaders, but it's also been civil rights leaders. It's Van Jones, Al Sharpton. We talked to everybody talking about what can we do, where are we, and how do we get back to civility and not just silence for silence sake and not just peace for peace sake, but justice. The thing that occurred to me that was interesting is, as to the Christians that are on here, is everybody talks about grace, but nobody wants to talk about truth. And the Bible said that we beheld the wonder of his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You don't have to have grace at the expense of truth. You can tell the truth and still have grace. And it's time to tell the truth. It's time to tell the truth. And my heart bleeds, because sometimes the truth is not always a pretty thing to tell. Sometimes the truth is a painful thing to tell. But the church has gotten to the point that we're so busy trying to get everybody to be polite that we don't allow them to be honest. And if they try to be honest, we say they're race baiting. And if they try to be honest, we have these names we call you to shut you up.
I'm in Amsterdam, which is without a doubt the cannabis capital of the world.
So that we don't see what we need to see. But I was praying and the Lord spoke to me about the story of the Good Samaritan, and he said something that I'm going to share with you. You know, at the beginning of the story, Jesus tells a story about a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, robbers. They stripped him and they wounded him and they left him half dead. And as Jesus goes on to tell the story, he says that the priest came and saw this brother on the side of the road bleeding. And he looked at him and he walked away. After a while, the Levite came and he passed by and he saw him too. But out of willful blindness, he turned his head and walked away. And I thought, we always preach about the Good Samaritan, but we never preach about the priest and the Levite. And that we have so many people who say they love Jesus who are more like the priest and the Levite than they are the Good Samaritan. When things get ugly, they look away. I pray the day will come that we will cross over to the bleeding victims who lay on the side of the road and pour in the oil and the wine. It's so odd that the Samaritan, who was the least likely of the three to be the one to bring aid and compassion, is the very one that came along and had aid and compassion. And those who were known for their faith turned their head and looked away. It reminds me of what Dr. King said. It is not, and I'm paraphrasing, but it is not so much the hideous behavior of evil men that condemns us so, but it is, in fact, the silence of good men who just look away. And so I've released a statement last week and put it on Facebook and Instagram, and I've got an op-ed coming out in the paper, and I've made a lot of calls and I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm still troubled on the inside, and I wanted to talk to you tonight. I know that many of you are angry, and you have a right to be angry. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. It's possible to be angry and not be destructive. I'm afraid that this will only lead to more deaths and more people in jail and the loss of properties, which means the loss of jobs. And some of those jobs are jobs that people desperately need right now. And I know we need to be heard, and I know we're tired. I know we're tired. And I know we're upset.
Tell me again why we signed up for this.
A distraction from your emptiness.
A distraction.
But real change, comes in process and comes in time. And I think we're at a turning point right now. Which way that turn goes is up to you and I, and what we do with it, and how we respond to it. And it's not really up to kings and queens. It's up to you and I. It's up to how we live and how we vote and what we're willing to tolerate out of people that are holding offices. Because sometimes we see them say the most insensitive things, the most ungodly things, and we just look away. We won't call wrong wrong. We just look away because we're more loyal to our team than we're loyal to the truth. This is not a black and white issue. It's a right and wrong issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue. It's an issue about what we want to be as Americans. It's not a black community problem. That's why you see white and brown and black all standing out in the streets together. It's about decency. And I pray that it rings out of every pulpit and rings out of every stage and every platform until all of those who have the power to make the right decisions are convinced to do so. I've been in leadership long enough to know that no matter who's in leadership, things go wrong sometimes. They really do. You cannot help it. If you lead anything massive, I've never led a country, and I never will. I never will. But even a small thing comparatively to what I lead, things go wrong. People do things. They make mistakes. They steal. They rob. They rape. They kill. They do things. Things happen. But it's not what goes wrong that really destroys an entity. It's how you handle what goes wrong that destroys an entity. And the real challenge of great leadership is to use great judgment when people make bad choices. And that's what's on trial today. That police officer they just arrested, he's not really the only one on trial. America is on trial today. Will we look away? Will we just get past this one event and go back to business as usual and wait on the next event to occur and act like we don't understand what's going on and I don't know what it's like to be you and I can't, or will we have empathy? You know, I don't have to be a woman to know that she's in pain when she's in labor.
Hi everyone, I'm here to share my story. I've only known superficial relations.
Sometimes we will ourselves into blindness rather than to be empathetic and get involved. I pray today for our country, for our world, because what's going on in America, in one form or another, is going on all over the world. When I was in South Africa, they were going through some really dark days, and Nigeria's going through some really tough days, and Kenya, it was going through good times, now going through bad times. It's all over the world. Venezuela, a country I love and preached in and ate in, and Colombia, had amazing times in South America. Those countries are having trouble, especially Venezuela right now. Australia's been up under stress and attack. It's all over the world. And if you decide to listen at me preach Sunday on my stream on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., we have to acknowledge that we're living in the last days. We don't like to talk about it much today, but there's no getting around it. We're living in the last days. The hearts of men have waxed cold. And Jesus said that would happen. That the love of many would wax cold, that we would lose our natural affection, that we would lose our natural compassion, that mothers would turn against daughters and fathers against sons. And we're living in that day today. I do want to give you some things that might be helpful. If you're trying to figure out what to do, what to post, or there's a lot of things you can do. You could fill out the census for one thing. You could vote. You never change the world by tweets alone. You need to vote. You need to vote, not just on a presidential level, for district attorneys, because this is state level, municipal government. Sometimes we don't even vote in those elections, but we live with the consequences and the decisions of those people who are judges and district attorneys. It's a wake-up call to get involved. It's a wake-up call to run for office. It's a wake-up call to do something. Don't burn down something and burn up people's property. Do something that's going to be constructive. And to all of you that are online and saying, I want to do something and I need to do something and I feel all kinds of ways about this and I don't know what in the world to do, one of the things you can do, if you jot this down, I'm going to give you...
So if you're looking at... Do you see all of these...
We're going to change the venue here. I'm the one that selected the videos, and I forgot that there were quite a few commercials in there, and we're not endorsing any of those. So what we're going to do is put on a couple of excerpts by Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and when they give me the signal, we'll be ready to put that up, and then that way we won't have as many distractions. We'll take that one all the way up to break, and then we'll go on the other side of the break with some more the information that you may possibly need. And then at the end, we will maybe have time for some questions. And if you do, you can do so by calling 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, and I will read a few of those. And in fact, I do have a few of those, so we are trying to load up, trying to get you the best information that we can. So as soon as I get the signal, and as soon as we get it up, we will run the words of Neely Fuller Jr. talking about the code.
When you put it in the frame of reference, everyone, when they talk about racism and our white supremacy, should always start by saying that the focus, the objective should be replace white supremacy with justice. Those are the five basic words. And you start your frame of reference from that. The words are very important, because when people talk about racism, they tend to get away from the basic focus. If you keep those five words in mind, replace white supremacy with justice, then you can keep focus. In many of these discussions on the matter, people tend to get into everything from feminism to words that don't have precise
communism and everything else. They go off on a tangent.
Yes, right.
Yeah, but this kind of locks it in.
Right. Bigotry, discrimination, sexism, a multitude of isms, biracialism, whatever that means, multiculturalism.
Whatever that means.
Yes. And so you get into a myriad of words that don't apply to the focus of what you're talking about. Mm. So therefore, that is the basic frame of reference that you should always focus on. That should be used by all people who are talking about the problem as it is.
What is a tragic arrangement, or the three T's, if you will, and what are some of the first two things that must be done to establish quality relationship between white and non-white people, if you will?
Well, the three T's called a tragic arrangement are tacky, trashy, terroristic. Now, this is the arrangement that non-white people on this planet have with white people in their everyday interactions in all areas of activity.
Tacky,
trashy, and terroristic. One of the three. It doesn't get any better than tacky. Mm. If you will observe black people, for instance, in the presence of white people, on account of the way that both of them are raised within the system of white supremacy, there is a strain there. There is not a even flow. Okay. So what you have is a tackiness. It doesn't get any better than tacky. It can't get any better than tacky within the system of white supremacy.
Why?
So this is all very tragic. Well, because the system of white supremacy the demands that white people interact with non-white people in a certain way that is harmful and harsh and overall destructive. And that the non-white people interact with the white people in the same manner. And they are taught this, both people. Are taught this at a very early age, and then the teaching goes on every day in all nine areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war.
All areas of people activity.
All of the areas of people activity, you know, everywhere in the known universe.
You know, I noticed something. I used to work with a gentleman, elderly gentleman, and whenever he would come in contact with white people, he always had a tendency to have to be the entertainment committee to make everybody laugh. If we were on the elevator or doing something in the building, he was always the person to make white people laugh. He was always the clown.
Yes.
He always kept a straight face, so he thought something was wrong with me.
Yes, well, you can tell that there's a strain even on college campuses and whatnot and in schools. The people will go to the classes together because that's where the classes are. That's where the teaching is. And then the students will separate themselves in the lunchroom. Now, there's a reason for that. And the reason is not healthy. It shows that something is completely, completely out of order. Because if the people are sharing the same classroom and learning the same things and having the same values that are taught in that classroom, then why do not the people interact with each other in all of the areas of activity without exception in harmony.
Well, maybe they're not learning the same thing.
That is it.
Maybe they taught the same thing, but
yes,
not necessarily
that is it. Under the system of white supremacy, a black student sitting next to a white student is being taught how to be a victim of white supremacy. The white person, the white student, is being taught how to be a white supremacist.
And it's all in the language.
This is done in the language, in the use of the words, in the subject matter of the materials, if the material in any way relates to interactions between people. Now, the other two T's, trashy, if you try to improve on the tackiness, then it gets trashy,
meaning
the interactions
what?
Between. For instance, you can say that in the area of religion, Sunday morning, black people and white people do not attend the same churches.
Dr. King says the most segregated hour in America.
Right. Now, that is tacky, particularly in the area of religion. It should not be. The two people should come together in religion, if in nothing else, it would seem logically speaking. But under the system of racism, since the basic teaching of the white supremacy system is that white supremacy is a religion, so you have a built-in barrier
already
against black people and white people sharing the same premises and preaching the same gospel and talking about loving each other and treating each other with justice. So therefore, you can't have what you call black people and white people in the same religious setting, which is why you don't have it.
So,
you do have, and I'd like to add this, is the trashiness that goes on the same Sunday morning, and that is maybe in the houses of prostitution, in the houses of dope dealing. Then you will have black and white together.
That's the only
same day
place.
On Sunday.
Wow, that's interesting that you would say that, because you have these two groups, and we both say we're Christian. We have white Baptists, then we have black Baptists, and we're supposed to be worshiping the same God, if you will.
Yes, one in Christ, they often say. And that is something that not even many black people care to explain, that they say we are, you know, in Christ there is no east, no west, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet, the black people and the white people cannot sit down in the same bench in a church.
I find it interesting, speaking of religion, that you could have Billy Graham come to town and all the black ministers start bowing down. Minister Louis Farrakhan comes and there's controversy.
Well, that is because of the race issue.
It's
always because of the race issue. You can't do anything. You can't straighten out anything in religion or any of the nine areas of activity without first eliminating racism. And here again, there's only one functional form, and that is white supremacy.
What should be used as a role model for replacing white supremacy?
The role model for replacing white supremacy should be a code of thought, speech, and action, not a person, never a person. And that's also applies to producing justice throughout the world, which justice has never been produced as far as anyone who is existing now knows anything about. We don't know what justice would be like. We don't know what peace would be like.
Yes.
Never had it. So in the process of producing justice, you need a role model, and that role model has to be a prescription. Some ministers have said in the beginning there was the word. Now that certainly applies also to straightening out race problems. You have to have the words. The words are not correct. Hardly any of the words are correct. The words are designed to support racism. And this is why you have the confusion you have in the schools.
Deceit.
Yes, the deceit. See, the words are designed to support deceit, which is the basic tool of the white supremacists. So.
Okay.
Attention.
All righty. We're getting ready to take our usual break right now. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet, and the podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to have some words from Dr. Randy Short on Dick Gregory when we return, about 14, 15 minutes, and then we will entertain some questions, or read some of your Gmails. All this and more coming up next on Point West, heard here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Now we back for paying the bills, baby. Maybe we'll fire the landlord. This next song is dedicated to all the cool cats and...
Attention Central Ohio.
Stand by for an important message.
Someone once said, these times like all times are good times if we just know what to do. Linco Realty says this is the best time to buy or sell a home, because interest rates are the lowest in history. Linco Realty has been providing real estate services for over 40 years in Central Ohio. Let us help you fire your landlord. If you have questions on pre-approvals, credit scores, down payments, financing, down payment assistance programs, schools, or other real estate questions, go to LincoRealty.com or call us at 614-375-2289. Again, 614-375-2BUY. Fire your landlord. Call us at 614-375-2289. Check out LincoRealty.com, then start packing.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Supporting minority education. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. I'm here to tell you that as the mother of a high school senior, I know due to financial circumstances, many of America's deserving minority students do not have access to a college education. Since 1944, the United Negro College Fund has sought to provide one. Since 1972, the beginning of this campaign, UNCF has helped more than 300,000 talented students earn a college degree. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. Give a helping hand.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
Goodwill is a global social services enterprise and the leading nonprofit provider of job training programs and career services in the United States and Canada. To pay for its program, Goodwill sells donated clothes and other household items in more than 2,700 stores and online at shopgoodwill.com. Goodwill uses the revenue earned from these sales to fund job training, employment placement services, and other community programs. The goal of the campaign is to increase goods donations to Goodwill, inspire an emotional connection to the Goodwill brand, and to elevate preference for Goodwill. Will.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain.
We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
You've got the power.
You are the power.
Right here on TalkTainment Radio.
Okay, welcome back to the final half hour of Point West. Here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, all you have to do is download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. I'm Mr. Bobby, and we are going to hear Dr. Randy Short on Dick Gregory. We have that tuned up. We have it tuned up, and we're ready to go. Here we go.
This is Brother Ron, and welcome to We All Be News Radio and TV, the news-free Dixie for the 21st century.
But we're having this conversation on the 1 year anniversary, on the eve of the 1 year anniversary of Baba Dick Gregory's transition, who talked about some of the things you're talking about, the sex trafficking, the organ harvesting.
I was saying that I walked the last picket line that Dick Gregory did at World Vision.
Okay.
And I remember Dick Gregory was walking up 3rd Street, Northeast Washington, and for a quick second, it's as if his body swiveled. I'd never seen him walk quite like that. And I says, man, his days are numbered. Because he didn't fall or anything, but it was something different in the way he was walking away from me, leaving to go into the garage to get his car. And the thing that really concerned me was, remember, last year we did the thing on East St. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. And Dick Gregory is from St. Louis.
Right.
Okay. I had called Dick Gregory to let him know we're going to have this thing in which maybe 2,000-3,000 people came out for the bridge on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Dick and I called. I've been talking to Dick Gregory off and on. At that point, since 1996, whoa, 96, mm-hmm, was in 1964, 4 plus 17, 21 years I've been talking to Dick Gregory. If I called him, I could reach him at some point. If I called him enough, I'd catch him. This time, no matter how many times I called, I never got a response. And I was thinking, this is something that Dick Gregory would have been on, because it's where he's from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept calling. So I'm in the middle of an event in St. Louis, and I get a call. And it's from Dick Gregory's I call someone else and they give me Dick Gregory's number because I couldn't find it up in Plymouth. Mm-hmm. So I called up and I got Dick Gregory's family, and it was a secretary or whatever, someone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised me that they'd be in touch, and they gave me an email to reach Dick Gregory. I said, Dick Gregory, an email? he doesn't do email. I didn't say that to her. Dick Gregory to email?
Right. No, he didn't do email.
I never heard of such a thing, but I did. And I wrote him, And Dick Gregory wrote me back, you know, God bless you. My prayers, and I've sent this out to everyone, I can't join you, okay? And I told someone that night that Gregory's not going to live out this year, because Dick Gregory wouldn't have missed being at something like that, because the way they mass murdered the people in St. Louis, I mean, East St. Louis, the way they were killing him on the bridge and drowning
him. Yeah.
Dick Gregory would have come for that. For him to send me an email that sent a chill through me. So I told folks, Dick Gregory's not going to live much longer. I don't know what's going on. Something bad. Coming. Can't prove it. I told several people, pray, but he won't clear 17. He won't. There's no way. I mean, I saw him walk and this. No. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I got back, and it's interesting. One of the last people to meet with Dick Gregory was my auntie, Yvonne Sion, Dave Chappelle's mom, and his sister, Felicia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw pictures. I got a picture I received of Dick Gregory and some other people. And some of the last people. And then Dick Gregory was gone.
Right.
And what's so crazy is that in 2016, I looked at my aunt and I asked my aunt how she was doing. She said she was fine. I kept saying, are you sure you're okay? She says, I'm fine. And I decided to take a picture of her because I realized I had no pictures of me and my mother's older sister. And so I started to take a picture of my mother being a jackass. Yes, she was. Rushing like we have somewhere to go. I says, Mom, let me get a picture with me and my aunt. This may be the last time we could take a picture together. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you need to know is that was the last picture my aunt and I took together. Within 2 weeks of me seeing her, we learned she had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow. That's what guy Aretha, right? Aretha Franklin?
And she died at the age of 76, just like Aretha did.
Wow. Was it in August, too, or was it?
It was a little after August. Maybe it was October.
Now, Dr. Shaw, I got to ask you this. You feel like the passing of Dick Gregory was a foul play involved, in your opinion?
It could be.
Okay.
It could be. You know, Dick Gregory had so many things. Do you realize if Dick Gregory were alive today with Amoroso, what Dick Gregory would be doing with that?
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, it'd be like, wow.
It would be a bit much. So I don't think they can handle black people with voices that must be heard out there talking, because it's too much. I mean, they can't handle Amoroso. She doesn't own a news network. She doesn't have billions of dollars. She's going up against the most powerful man in the world with little other than her gumption, whatever faith she has in God, and her wanting to get her get paid. She's standing, though. White folks are not used to resistance. We don't resist the white system. I'm not talking about mean to some ordinary white person walking the street. Talking about resisting where we spend our money, where we spend our time, how we do stuff. We're not fighting back. We're not pushing back.
So is she Haitian then? She got the Haitian spirit of fighting back?
That's Nigerian. Her father is Nigerian. This is not Haitian. Haiti is makes some money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I want to say for Dick, I did the same thing with Dick Gregory in 2015 or 16.
Okay.
We had like a 9-hour conversation. The pictures were up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He was with my mentor from Howard University, Dr. Suleiman Yang. And I said, Dick, let's get a picture. I may never get another one. And that is it. That is the last picture. That's the only one-on-one picture I have with Dick Gregory. Was the first one.
Wow.
And it was so interesting because I was in the restaurant. It's called the Tasty Diner. It's off of Colesville Road and Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring. And I looked and I saw the back. I can tell who people are from the back of their head.
Mm-hmm.
And the back, it was back ahead. And I went up and said, "Hey, Mr. Gregory," it was Dick Gregory. I told my friend, "That's Dick Gregory." He says, "How can you tell?" I see the back of his head. I says, "Do you see his face?" I says, "His back of his head is just as good as his face if you know what to look for."
Mm-hmm.
Dick Gregory came over and we talked for about 7 hours.
Wow.
And he said that Trump wasn't going to win. I said, "No, I think Trump's going to win." He cussed me out.
Right, that's how Dick Gregory. But he got on for 7 hours, though, so he liked you.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it was me and several other people. And, you know, what happened, you know, Dick would always crash the shows that I was on. If I was on, back when Carl Nelson didn't hit Black Lives Matter, tell him who could come on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'd come in, I guess a lot of people like listening to the stuff I was sharing with them. Gregory would call in and interrupt and hog it and like
you already know he set the air out the room. Yeah, I understand.
It would be like Diana Ross snatching the microphone, snatching the microphone by Mary Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Come on, man, you're internationally known. You're gonna take my little bit of time from me. I'm not an icon. People barely know who the hell I am. So what are you worried about?" But anyway, I remember one time he crashed the show. He was laughing so hard, seemed to say how bad I was. I'm terrible. Because what happened? Carl Nelson asked me if Obama had Scalia killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to sing, "Oh, Happy Day." "Oh, happy day, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day. When Jesus was, when Jesus was." Yeah. And then I said, for the white people, I said, "Oh, happy day, I fixed my choice for you, my Savior and my God." And so, "Happy day, happy day, when Obama took that cracker away." So Dick Gregory was going to just howl at my ass. He said, "You're awful." Because, you know, I'm not going to feel sad that Scalia died. And shoot, they need to get the other nine.
Mm.
Or eight right now until they replace, you know. I know which one people first. And you know who that one is.
I'm sure you didn't feel for the one that this
right. Okay, I won't say that. I take that up.
You good.
All right, there you heard a little excerpt from Dr. Randy Short on Dick Gregory, his interactions with Dick Gregory. I just thought we would throw that in, Dr. Short. Some profound questions one might want to ask. Did they kill Dick Gregory? And we know we're using air quotes, "they." And if they did, why did they kill Dick Gregory? Did he know something, know some information, or what? They brought up that when Judge Scalia was killed, that's been a mystery. Who was going around doing stuff like that? I don't know. You know, these are just questions that have not been answered. Here's a Gmail. It says, "Dear Mr. Bobby, I heard about how white supremacist groups are practicing racism during this time. They are intentionally discussing ways to infect non-white black persons with COVID-19. They are even planning a race war. We don't even agonize these things, but they are excited about killing people who are classified as non-white. As a victim of white supremacy, What are some suggestions that you would make to help us quell the need for a race war? How do we stop all people from thinking this is a good practice And how, as victims, do we prepare ourselves for war? Well, since you asked me, my thing is this. In order to end white supremacy, which is the only world government worldwide, I don't care if you call it communism, fascism, Nazism, it's all racism, white supremacy. The entire system has to be dismantled and completely eliminated, completely, in my opinion. How do you do that? Well, you completely eliminate it by each individual forming a practice of compensatory justice. Compensatory justice meaning we have to make whole whatever we have lost. See, you can have all these laws that they may get ready to pass, or when I was coming up, and maybe Ed or Evan Galen, they had programs which we call programs of pacification. Job Corps, CETA, the Peace Corps and all that, because the blacks in the 1960s were rioting all over the place. Even I was in one in Cleveland in the Huff area back in 1967. But the National Guard came in and got things under control. I have seen this. It was a part of it. But when they got the programs of pacification because the white population got scared, they allowed blacks to have jobs in different areas and all that. And unfortunately, we got comfortable. We got comfortable driving the BMWs and going into the executive men's washrooms and playing golf and all that. And all that would seem to be going good for 12 or 13 years from 1968 until 1981. And a funny thing happened in 1981. That is when Ronald Reagan, the Republican president, took control of the Air Traffic Controllers Union and busted the union. And unions have lost their power ever since. Unions have been busted. And there was a corporate takeover of America back in 1981. And then going back to those programs of pacification, that basically stopped because of the Alan Bakke case of the reverse discrimination. He filed suit on that, and they filed in he won on that behavior. Because it used to be that we had programs where blacks were given priorities, where he felt he was discriminated against. And in 1981 or thereabouts around in there, that was done, reversed. And so we reverted back to the way that it was. And as you can see, it has escalated into basically a corporate takeover of America where all the businesses that are owned by who? White people. They have just gone bonkers and gone wild and so forth. This is wrong. This is a wrong thing because it's not fair. It's not equal. But it's not designed to be because the system of racism, white supremacy, is an unjust system. It is completely unjust. So you're not going to have that. But it needs to be dismantled and then replaced. That has to be in the heart up here, your mind. Because if you don't do it, it's going to do like it always done. Now, lately we've been having, you know, all these riots and protests and all, and they should be, you know, get your knee off our necks. But if the heart of the people who are in charge right now don't change, and that is through voting, one of the ways is through voting, it's not going to happen. And that is what makes it so terrible, what happened down in Georgia with all those long lines of people. Because the Republicans, if you will, are trying to discourage black people from voting. That's what you saw on the news last evening. You saw that. 1-877-932-9766. 7mrbobby@gmail.com if you care to get in. That's what you saw on the news last night. That is what they are doing. And they are bold with it now. They are very bold with it. So these are just some of the ways that you may want to invest in trying to rid yourself, but if you don't, if it's not a change of heart, that means the mind is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Rachel asks, well, you know, what do we do? She says this. I heard about white supremacist groups are practicing racism during this time. Okay, yeah, well, we just did that. So she was, yeah, with the COVID. You know, I'm not going to say what I've discovered about COVID, but what it, but some of the things that I discovered. The only reason why I'm not going to say it because I really can't substantiate it. I have a team, and we've been discovering different things, and we tend to see that it's basically a fake situation with some things that are made real. Now, somebody asked, well, do you wear a mask? For the most part, when I go into a store, I do, or having certain kind of interaction with people who I may not know, I don't want to catch their germs. And, you know, I don't know who they've been around, and they don't know who I've been around. But you have to govern yourself accordingly. But all the misinformation that is around that is designed to keep you from knowing the truth. I mean, you know, one thing about truth, if you tell the truth, you don't have no need to cover up anything. But there are some people that don't want you to know the truth, so they come up with words like alternative endings or alternative series or whatever it is, which is another word, a code word for saying lies. And that's what they do. They lie all the time. You don't know what to believe. One says this and one says that. You don't know what to believe. I'll give you an example. People say that the police are police brutality. Police brutality. Listen, there is no such thing as police brutality. Why? Because a police officer would not do that. What they have is race. They have race suspected race soldiers. Race soldiers who mask themselves as police officers and give police officers a bad name. All police aren't bad. Okay. So, you know, you have to understand that all police officers are not bad. A police officer would not do that, but a race soldier that has infiltrated police department will do all kind of things. And then you can't tell the difference between a race soldier and a police soldier because they have on a uniform and you don't know. So all police get a bad name based on race soldiers. As a matter of fact, there's been some information that a race soldier in the Muskegon, Michigan Police Department last year, 2019, they went into his house for some reason and found application to the Ku Klux Klan. So what do you think? What do you think is going on? You have all this stuff. Your president claimed that 75-year-old man that they pushed down was a member of Antifa, was supposed to be a fascist group, or he called them a hate group. But not one time did he mention race soldiers in the police departments, and not one time did he admit the KKK as far as domestic terrorism was concerned. See, they play on your mind, and you have to read into and you have to understand what's going on, because they don't want you to know. They want you to be confused. Why? Because if you're confused, they will dominate you. Well, we have about a minute to go on the program. Got Curtis Mayfield in the backfield. Appreciate your Gmails that you have sent in. You could call, but not right now because we're almost off the air. But we appreciate that. We try to bring you different aspects of what we are trying to get out to you, educate you. We want you to think. We want you not to be afraid, but to understand what's going on. You are, or we as black people, are at war. Teach your sons, teach your daughters the truth of what's going on so that they will know about what's going on. Even the Bible tells us to train up a child in the ways of the Lord when he's young, and when he's old, he won't depart from those ways. We need to understand that and begin to teach our children. Don't run away from that, but teach our children. And brothers and sisters, let's stop killing one another. Let's don't do that. Let's stop killing Robin and all that stuff that they have taught us what to do, and we've taken it over. We have no drug factories, but yet drugs are all in our community. We have no liquor stores, but what? Liquor stores are in our community. Well, guess what? It's about time that I got to wrap it up. So I do appreciate you listening. Appreciate your Gmails. And we'll try to do better on next week. This has been Point West here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening. Just move on up. Move on up.
The power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.